You're listening to The Zesty Garden. I'm your host, Brian Earle. And for our Wait, Wait, Don't Plant That segment today, Mike Coons, USU Extension Forestry Specialist, is in studio. And what's our tree today, Mike?
We debated this, but Norway maple, I think.
Okay. Now, that's quite a lot to say, since there are many towns in this state that are lined with Norway maples.
Yeah. And there's a couple of aspects here. For one thing, it's a little bit of a weed, even in Utah. In the northeastern U.S., they can't believe we allow people to plant it because it's a declared legally noxious weed in some places in the Northeast.
Well, in my backyard, if I don't get them out, they grow everywhere. I used the one as a 4 or 5 of them came up, and I used it as a screen, as a hedge almost, until they started getting too big, and then I finally took them all out. But they just come up pretty easily.
And they are up some of our canyons. I don't think they're, given how long they've been here and how relatively little they've spread up into the canyons, I don't worry too much about them becoming a big problem. In Utah, the only trees really that are commonly declared noxious weeds are Russian olive and tamarisk, which is a shrub to a small tree. Norway maple is not a declared noxious weed here, so it is legal to grow it. So it's the weediness bothers me a little, and it's just that there are better maples, and it tends to not age well. You get a lot of limbs dying, and you don't know why. And I'm very familiar with this tree. I have 7 of them.
I'm taking it you did not plant these
no,
trees.
No, I didn't, but they're so important in terms of where they're placed.
So it didn't deter you when you were looking at this house?
No, it was beautiful, actually. But living with Norway maples, what do they say? Familiarity breeds contempt. Huh. I've had probably 5 of them suffer severely from girdling roots, which is really common in Norway maples, more so than many other species of trees, where the roots kind of go sideways when they come out from the trunk and cross over one another. And then when the trunk grows in diameter, the base of the trunk, and the roots start to grow in diameter, the big woody roots, and then there's crossing roots that start to grow in diameter, when they all reach each other, it's the perfect storm, and you end up with the tree starting to decline. And I've got 6 as street trees in my parking strip. There really isn't big enough. It's not a big enough area for them, but I've got them. And I've got one that this year will determine whether I just have to remove it or not, because I've twice done a root collar excavation with a trowel and a shop vac and cut roots that were girdling other roots. And hopefully this year it'll start to come back. It'll take a few years.
That's the hard thing about those. If you do cut them down, it's going to take a long time to replace the shade. So I'm assuming that's why you haven't been keeping them that long.
Yeah. And if I do replace it, I think I'll come behind the curb on my side of the curb, because I only have about a 40-inch planting strip from curb to sidewalk.
That's a great spot for native perennials that don't need any extra water.
Yeah, so. And then get my trees behind the sidewalk. It'd still be a hard decision, though, because I'd still have 5 left, and some of them are, the biggest one is probably 20 inches in diameter.
And then the other problem is the insects. Every year, except maybe last year, in my place, I've had aphid problems. You can just see the leaves shining with the honeydew from the aphids. And I told my son, I says, "Yeah, that's aphid poo."
Yeah,
and like,
aphids
really?
Are really bad this year.
They're terrible
on Norway maple and lindens, especially, but even on some pines and it's really bad. And but aphids by themselves wouldn't be enough to make the decision for me to not plant it. But it's more the dieback that it's prone to. You know, especially any dieback that opens up part of the trunk or a large branch to direct sunlight that hasn't had direct sunlight in a while, it just seems like it doesn't do well. And you make a pruning wound on the west or the south side of a tree, and it gets direct sun. You know, what might be a 4-inch diameter pruning wound will die way back before it'll finally start making the callus and heal it over. So that's the main problem with Norway maples to me. And I know a lot of people have them, and I'd be interested to know how many of people who have them, what proportion like them when they've been with them for a while.
But they're not being used any longer or recommended anyway by cities to put in along the street. They're doing other ones now.
There probably are still a number of cities that are on acceptable plant lists. And really, in terms of Norway maple, it's an okay tree. We have enough. And so part of the reason I'd be saying don't plant any of them is don't plant any more. Mm. We have plenty. It'll take a while till the proportion of the tree population that is Norway maples gets down to a reasonable proportion. You'd like to not have more than 10% of the trees in a town or city be any one species in case something happens like the Dutch elm disease did with the American elm.
Well, you look at Logan's Main Street, and there were maples up and down Main Street. And now, at least on the south end of town, they were just starting to die back and not looking very good, and the city has taken them all out and replaced them with London Plane.
Right, and that's the dieback I'm talking about.
Okay.
And actually, the old quad here on campus has mostly is tree-lined with Norway maples, and over the next several years, we're phasing that to, in this case, it's going to be London Plains, and then London Plain will be pretty much reserved for that place on campus.
And London Plains are also known as?
Well, sycamore by a lot of people, yeah. And we have enough. they're okay trees, but we have enough, and we don't need more.
So for today's Wait, Don't Plant That segment, the recommendation is don't plant Norway maples. Now, can you plant Rocky Mountain maples in their place?
Yeah, actually.
Since that is a native.
I think the one you're probably talking about is Canyon maple or Big Tooth maple.
Big Tooth, yeah.
Rocky Mountain maple is actually another species of maple native to Utah that doesn't get very big. It's kind of small and shrubby. And it would be fine, but
so the big tooth maple would be okay.
Yeah, has good fall color. Really
better than Norway.
Uh huh. Yeah, and the only thing with a big tooth maple is currently there's only one named cultivar that's been grafted and is genetically selected, and unfortunately the wholesaler grafts them onto Acer rubrum, which is red maple rootstocks from the eastern U.S., and they do okay here, but they don't get all that good a fall color. And but it is a more tree form, upright tree form.
So does the rootstock affect the color of the leaves that much?
I think so.
Wow.
In that case, it does, I think. And they know that it might do better on some other rootstock, but they're just red maple works well for them to grow for rootstocks, so that's what they do. But they are looking at some other big tooth maple cultivars, that particular wholesaler is, and actually USU's been involved with getting them some new selections.
So we'll be looking forward to having those.
Yes.
Mike, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Wait, Don't Plant That segment with Mike Coons, USU's Extension Forestry Specialist. And you can go online and get some great information with the Tree Browser. And that's produced through Utah State University. And what's the address, Mike?
Just treebrowser, all one word, .org.
Thanks, Mike. And thank you for joining us on today's edition of The Zesty Garden.